Overheard at Yoga is brought to you in partnership with Speak Studios and Speak Boise. Speak Boise is a community-driven studio space where voices from all walks of life can speak and be heard. You can find them on Instagram and Facebook at Speak Studios, Speak Boise, and at their website, speakstudios.com. Speak Studios, speak and be heard. This podcast is also brought to you by Instant Imprints. Promote better with Instant Imprints. Instant Imprints are Boise's visual communications expert and your place for everything you need to promote your business, club, school, or group. As a locally owned business, Instant Imprints specializes in making your organization more visible with custom branded apparel, embroidery, promotional items, print services, and wide format printing for signs as well as banners and vehicle graphics. Want better ways to get noticed? Visit Instant Imprints at instantimprints.com/Boise or call 208-IMPRINT. That's 208-467-7468. It's your girl, Christina. This is Overheard at Yoga. So let's crank up the heat and get down, dog. All right, we are on the Overheard at Yoga podcast. And today I'm joined by Megan Aaron, who I've had on a couple times. She is my girl. I love you, Megan. Thanks for coming back. I'm also really thrilled to have Connie and Trinity, and you both are doing incredible work. You've started CARE, and I'm going to stop talking. I'm going to let you both introduce yourselves and tell me more about CARE.
Okay. Well, thank you for having us here today. This is awesome to be able to talk about it. Trinity and I are co-founders of CARE, and it stands for Collective of Autoimmune Resources for Everyone. And we started thinking about this a little while ago because I was diagnosed with a couple of autoimmune disorders about 10 years ago. And then I'm a clinical counselor, so I work with people who have eating disorders, anxiety, depression. And then I started to notice I have a lot more people with autoimmune, chronic illness. And I just started to notice that there weren't quite enough resources for them beyond medication, or that they had a hard time dealing with maybe, you know, the thoughts and the emotions and everything that goes along with this. And so since Trinity, who is my daughter, also was diagnosed with autoimmune disorders at a young age, we started to think, well, what is a business that we could build that might fill that gap for people where they don't feel alone and they can find different resources that would be helpful to them in addition to medication, you know, just places to find information and to communicate with other people who are going through the same thing.
So Megan and I had spoken in a previous episode about your daughter, Kaya, Megan, and she was diagnosed with an autoimmune disorder at what age?
She was just under 2 years old.
She was under 2 years old. And do you feel like what Connie and Trinity are saying is there was a lack of information and support for you at that time?
100%. I can remember feeling so overwhelmed. And when I went to look for resources, it was really hard to find. I didn't really find much at all. And I will say now it seems like there are some pieces of the puzzle, you know, being put together. But I'm really excited about CARE because it's going to be kind of like your one-stop shop where everything is plugged in, you know, because as we know with autoimmune disorders, not one size fits all. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you're out there looking for something to help you, there might be a resource, but it feels like it's scattered and not well organized. So that's something that's really excited about CARE.
Tell me again, what does CARE stand for?
CARE stands for Collective of Autoimmune Resources for Everyone. And that term collective was important to me because I started to realize that there's a lot of different professionals that we can work with, that we can gain information from, and that can help us, anywhere from physicians, functional medicine providers, yoga experts, EFT tapping experts, counselors, that there are health coaches, that there are a lot of different information we can gain from different people. And sometimes it's just hard to even know, where do I begin? You know, who do I go see after the rheumatologist? You know, what is my next step?
So who was diagnosed first, Trinity or you?
I was diagnosed first. And that would have been in my 40s, which is a pretty typical onset for autoimmune diagnosis in women.
Wow.
And then Trinity, her story was is different than mine. So,
yeah, thank you for having us on today.
Yeah, for sure.
So I was diagnosed when I was 14, so about 10 years ago. And I have psoriasis and later got diagnosed with psoriatic arthritis and ankylosing spondylitis. But my first diagnosis was psoriasis. I ended up with, you know, the typical presentation of it, which is a few scaly patches on your legs and your elbows. And my parents weren't super surprised because my dad has it, my aunt has it. There's a big family history of it.
Okay.
So we just went to the family dermatologist. They took a biopsy and were just like, yeah, okay, it's psoriasis. Here's a steroid ointment. Use it when it's there. And pretty much put this on and wrap yourself in saran wrap at night to get it to go away faster.
Wow.
So I was
14 years old.
14 years old, and I was sleeping in saran wrap on every single one of my limbs to try and feel normal going to school. Just to get it to go away and not feel like everyone was looking at me like I was contagious, like I was going to give them something.
Were you doing like slumber parties with your girlfriends, or did you feel weird about that?
So if I was going to sleep over at my friend's house, obviously I wasn't wrapping myself in saran wrap because that would have been a little awkward. But yeah, so I felt really weird about it. And I remember having one of my friends come over and ask like why I had a box of saran wrap in my room. And I was like,
oh no.
Oh, God. I have to wrap myself in it at night.
Did it just feel like it was normal for you after a while?
It kind of did, until I would have to like tell somebody about it because, you know, 14, 15 year olds, they don't understand what that is. I didn't understand what it was really. I just had these scales on my skin that I had to wrap up at night and, you know, try and like cover up at school so people wouldn't see them. But, you know, I didn't understand the full effects of it until I was in my 20s. Like, I didn't understand how to treat it internally because every dermatologist I saw was just like, here's another steroid ointment, here's another cream, here's another thing to put under the saran wrap at night. And so when I was, I was 20 and I was in school at Washington and I came back for winter break and like a week before I was going to go back, I like woke up and I just had these huge blotches all over my arms and I just was like, what is this?
So that was a new development.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So up until then I had only had like tiny small patches on my elbows and some on my legs and it was super manageable. Like I didn't really notice it. And then in my brain, I was like, this is a rash. Like I'm allergic to something. Because I had bought new clothes that day. And so I was like, it's from like whatever detergent the store washed their clothes in. Like it's an allergic reaction. It's fine. And I told my mom about it. And she was like, yeah, you know, we'll just watch it. We'll see. Take some allergy medication. And then I noticed it that night all over my legs and all over my stomach.
Was it uncomfortable or did it just look...
It just looked like it was uncomfortable. Uh-huh. It wasn't like super itchy or anything. And it was basically just like these little red teardrops like all over my skin. And I was just freaked out. I was like, I'm going back to school in a week. I don't know what this is. My mom doesn't know what this is. And I go to her with all of my medical stuff. Like our whole family goes to her with all of the medical stuff and is like, what the heck is this? Tell me what this is.
Okay.
And so my mom couldn't answer it. And I was like, oh, this is not good if she can't answer it. So we go to my dermatologist and they're like, yeah, looks like this certain type of psoriasis.
Wow.
We'll take some biopsies. You probably won't get them back in time before you leave. And like, we're not going to be able to treat you because you're going to a different state.
Oh my gosh.
And I was just like heartbroken. My
and
heart
she was
just
covered from head to toe in this, except maybe her face.
I had it
just
on
everywhere.
90% of my body. So the only thing that was clear was my face and my scalp. Mm-hmm. And I was walking around feeling like a complete like leper. Everyone was just like, what is happening to you? What is this? If you touch me, are you going to give me like necrotizing fasciitis? Like,
I don't know what that is, but that doesn't sound
it's
good.
It's like flesh eating bacteria.
Oh my gosh.
Because people just look at you like, holy cow, what is this?
Right.
So my mom is like panicking. I'm panicking. And she gets me into another dermatologist. And they're like, yeah, it's this type of psoriasis called guttate psoriasis, which presents as like little teardrop shaped plaques. And again, they were like, we can't treat you. You're going out of state. If you come back, if you leave school and you come back, we'll treat you. But
did you have to leave school?
Eventually I did.
Because of your autoimmune.
Yes.
Is it a disease or a disorder? What's the difference?
Kind of interchangeable.
Okay.
But yeah, so I went to three different dermatologists in that time before I went back, and they're all like, yeah, we can't treat you.
Because you were, because you're trying to get out of town to go back to school.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm like,
so did you go back to school?
I did. I went back to school with just my steroid ointments for my small outbreaks. And I was like, how am I going to feasibly cover 90% of my body in this every single day, twice a day? Like, that's not.
And you're a girl in college. Yeah. You want to go to school and have fun.
Yeah. I'm 20 years old and I go back and all of my housemates, which I'm friends with, they just were like, what is happening? Like, I was having to ask them to like help me put lotion on my back because I couldn't reach it.
Wow.
But they were so itchy. Like, I had no choice but to ask them.
So how long did this go on before you found a solution?
So my one friend, she was like struggling with really bad acne and she had a dermatologist there and she was like, go see him. He's a couple blocks from our campus and, you know, maybe you'll get some help. And so I go there and they're like, all right, here's this medication. It's a pill. And here's some other ointment. And we're going to get you into phototherapy, which is basically a high powered tanning bed that you're in for X amount of time and you have to build it up.
Did you get tan?
No.
Oh.
Which was a real bummer. I was like, at least I could get
you're like,
a
cool,
nice
I'm
tan.
You're like, cool, I'm going to get a tan now.
Yeah. But they were like, all right, you got to cover every spot of this in Vaseline and then stand in it for 10 seconds.
What was that like for you?
It was awful. I was like trying to rush getting Vaseline all over me and then go stand in this booth for 10 seconds. And then I was done. And then I'm covered in Vaseline.
Oh, shit.
And like trying to do this twice a week and they build it up by like 2 seconds
so
every time.
Oh, like over a period of time, what is the time period before you start seeing results?
It kind of varies with each person, but they were like, you know, probably within a month or 2 months, you'll like see results.
So I'm looking at you right now and your skin is absolutely beautiful.
Thank you.
So to everyone listening, they're probably wondering like, what did you do? How did you get better?
Yeah. So I ended up leaving school because that medication, I got literally every side effect you could get. Which was gastrointestinal issues.
No.
Like that's when I ended up developing arthritis because at that point my body was just going haywire. And I literally could not get out of my bed and I would roll over and the pain would knock the wind out of me. And I was just like in and out of the bathroom, like throwing up all the time. I was literally living off of Powerade and white rice with butter.
So you dropped out of school and moved back home with mom, I'm assuming?
Well, yeah, it was just a really challenging time for her and we just couldn't find the right medications to help her. And at one point I was at a counseling conference in Florida and I was talking to her on the phone because she was about 2/3 of the way through the semester and we were kind of going, maybe not understanding how severe it was for her. But I was trying to kind of understand it and say, well, can you finish up or, you know, and then she just said to me, I am drowning. So of course, to a mom, you know, and I know this happens to a lot of people in college who are going through this. So it's difficult for parents to know how to navigate it. But at that point it was just like, I'll get the next flight to Washington and went and connected with her. And we ultimately, navigated a medical withdrawal, for her so that she could leave school and then come back and get connected with another dermatologist and rheumatologist to try to, again, figure out, you know, how do we regroup? What do we need to do for her? How do we need to help her medication-wise? And what do we need to do self-care? And to get that stress off her, I think, was the most important thing, in addition to finding the right physicians. But that stress just really causes the autoimmune to be so much worse. So it was really a difficult time, but we just put her health first, and I had to put school on the back burner for a while till she was in a much better place.
What were the key components to you getting better?
So I give pretty much all the credit to my dermatologist, who I initially didn't even want to go see. I was so frustrated with having seen four different dermatologists and the last one having told me, well, you know, if you're suicidal because of the side effects of your worsening depression, just call the office. If you want to take your life, just call the office.
That was medical advice for your autoimmune disease, yes, which clearly affecting your mental health.
Yes. I was already living in the most depressing place, yeah, in the country, already had depression, was feeling like a leper.
Did you say Washington's the most depressing place in the country? Is it just because of
statistically
what you're going? Oh, really?
Yes.
The rain.
Because of the rain.
Oh my gosh. The dark. I didn't think about that.
Yes. Yeah. So I remember just sitting in the office and him telling me that. And
just call the office.
Yeah.
I was like, what are they going
to
do?
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, okay, if it's 2 a.m. and I want to kill myself, I'm going to call my dermatologist's office.
Oh, Trinity, I'm so sorry you're going through that.
Yeah. So that at that point, that's when myself and my parents decided, okay, we need to get you home. This is going to end
so badly. You found a new dermatologist.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And he didn't make you wear Vaseline and incubate yourself or what?
Yeah. So he is out in Fruitland, Idaho. Most random place in the world.
Okay.
For this person. But my mom had made this appointment like months ago, and I was like, I don't want to go. I don't want to see any more doctors. I can't handle it emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
And she was just like, you know, we'll just try it out. And we go there, and he actually cares. He looks at every inch of my body and is like, okay, does this itch? Does it, like, is it painful? Like, where are you feeling arthritis? He checked all of my joints, all of my smaller joints, to see if there was swelling, if there was inflammation. And he was like, okay, if you don't treat psoriasis that's this bad, you increase your odds for heart disease, for dementia, for Alzheimer's, for all these different types,
really,
of cancer, which I had never been told before.
Interesting.
And I had had it for 8 years at that time. I had never been told that.
Wow.
By any of the four dermatologists I saw. And he was like, we're going to get you on these different medications. We're going to, like, treat you for your allergies because that can be a contributor. This certain type of psoriasis is from infections. And I had a chronic sinus infection for 2 years and no one noticed that was causing it.
Oh, my gosh.
And he was like, yeah, they used to teach us in the 70s that, you know, this type of psoriasis is usually caused by sinus infections, but they don't teach that anymore.
So would you say that this whole journey is what inspired you to come up with CARE, this collective autoimmune
resources for everyone?
Resources for everyone. So is it going to, what's the website going to be? Is it up yet?
We have a kind of a coming soon page, and okay, it's careforautoimmune.com.
Careforautoimmune.com. And so this sounds like such a journey. And Megan, I know you and Kaya were on a journey. And so, and then you were also, Connie, you were diagnosed with something as well. So you're dealing with your daughter. You've got your thing.
Yeah. When I was going through a really stressful time in my life is when I developed lupus and Hashimoto's. So those were the you know, diagnoses that I was dealing with. And so I was just kind of beginning to learn what the heck is autoimmune.
What is lupus and Hashimoto's?
Hashimoto's is where it involves the thyroid. Mm. And then lupus, it's where it's more systemic. And the inflammation not only affects the joints, but it also affects all of the organs in the body. So it can be something that you have to really learn to manage it as best that you can, because otherwise it can really create a lot of issues as far as inflammation in the kidneys, which then would be a problem, but it can really reduce life expectancy if not treated well.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So usually what I deal with it is it's kind of fatigue is what it'll create for me. And then I have to learn what's the self-care stuff I can do to make myself feel as good as I possibly can. And that's what I started to think again about care. It's like so many people don't recognize what are the self-care things that they can do for themselves that would make them feel better, you know, or be able to gain energy. So those were things we started to put into care. It's like, well, we need a community where people can talk. And then we need a self-care collection that includes a variety of different things, because what works for me doesn't work for Trinity or, you know, or Megan for your daughter. So we want to have a variety of different things that people can kind of try and sample and say, hey, you know, do I feel better on a day that I have a bad flare and I meditate? Do I feel better if I do the right type of exercise? And that's where we met Megan, is because we're putting a lot of yoga on our site, because when you look at research, yoga can really make a big difference in as far as reducing flares and reducing symptoms. So it's exciting to meet her as a resource, but it's important that we do the right type of yoga for autoimmune, because not all of it's good for you. It's important to do the right type of exercise, mm-hmm. because not all of it is good. So that's what we wanted to do, is to try to just bring, you know, a variety of resources to people so that they could decide, you know, what works best for them.
I definitely want to get into the yoga portion for sure, obviously, for obvious reasons. But I am still really curious about your being diagnosed with an autoimmune disease, because for you, Trinity, it was so visible. You're like, you could point and you could say there. But it sounds like with lupus, Hashimoto's. Yep. That sounds like it's very internal. So you couldn't just like point and be like, I have a rash. So how did you know that you needed to get looked at, and you weren't just like tired or it was a long day?
Well, and we do a lot of the autoimmune diseases, which there's over 100 of them now, are what we call kind of an invisible disease, right? Mm. I'm not seeing it on my skin. I don't know. But at that time in my life, I recognized I don't feel right. Like my body doesn't feel good. My joints feel a little different. I'm feeling more fatigued. Something's not right. So I really went into my physician and said, hey, I just kind of want you to run every, you know, blood test that you can think of. And then, you know, of course, it came back positive with an ANA, an antibody that indicates autoimmune.
Oh.
So, you know, at that point, because it is really challenging oftentimes to get the diagnosis of what the autoimmune is. It really can be very confusing. It's hard for physicians oftentimes to really be able to kind of put it into a category with what people are going through. So sometimes that's a huge frustration, to know you don't feel good, but it can take years oftentimes for people to get diagnosed. Or sometimes they, you know, a physician might really not recognize what it is and kind of think, well, maybe is this kind of psychosomatic, or, you know, what do we need to do for this person? But it can be incredibly frustrating. Luckily, mine was a little more clear when they were able to do the blood work and tell me, you know, what was going on, because you can see in blood work if it's lupus or if it's Hashimoto's. But of course, my experience with lupus will be very different than somebody else's, you know, with lupus. They may have the signature rash on the face that some people do, or, you know, just have different symptoms than I do. So it can be really challenging oftentimes to get that diagnosis. But usually it's going to your physician first. And then if they start to feel autoimmune-wise, you'll go to a rheumatologist who then works to confirm it. But that process itself can be incredibly frustrating to people.
So you would say you'd recommend going to your doctor, trying to get diagnosed?
Yeah, I think it's important to advocate, and that's what I see a lot of times. People might go into their primary care physician, and if they don't really get the information or the diagnosis that quite fits it, sometimes they'll wait a long time before they take another stab at it. And so I think when we're dealing with autoimmune, self-advocacy is really important, to kind of go in prepared with whatever questions that you have with the physician, to push for some additional testing, to, you know, push to see specialists like dermatologists and rheumatologists or functional medicine professionals, but to keep pushing to get those answers. And then it really doesn't stop there, because then it can be very difficult to find the right medications to treat it and so forth. So that's a part of care as well, as we want to have that community where people can talk to each other about the challenges and the frustrations they're going through, and maybe be able to share ideas that can be helpful. But it is important to educate yourself as much as you can, so you can ask a lot of questions of the physicians and kind of keep pushing to find that diagnosis.
Megan, how long did it take for Kaya to get diagnosed?
We were actually pretty lucky, because hers, even though it is more of an internal, she was diagnosed with psoriatic arthritis, but her psoriasis did not show right away. It was in the joints first. And for a lot of children, they'll go for years, maybe decades, with arthritis, and a lot of their parents will push it off as growing pains, is what I've heard. It's like, oh, it's just, you're just going through growing pains, and that's why you're tired today, or that's why you keep climbing to me and saying that your joints hurt or your bones hurt. But for Kaya, she was so little, you know, she had just learned to form words at just barely 2 years old. So she, her pointer finger actually swelled up massively. I actually thought, like, you must have gotten stung by a bee, because this finger is huge on your little tiny body. And I remember we were on vacation at the time, and I just kind of like, oh, okay, well, you know, I see it. I know it's there. And I wanted to have a good time on that vacation. I remember I really wanted to have a good time, but my gut instinct, I knew it was going to be something more. And I was like, no. And I didn't know what it would be, because I was also 23 at the time, and I'd had my first baby. So I just didn't know, but my motherly instinct was telling me. So when I got her home, we went to the family practitioner. They also did blood work, and they thought it was lupus, actually. That was the first thing. And when I was like, what the heck is lupus? Yeah. What does this mean? So when I researched it, I was scared. I was like, oh, gosh, please, please, no, she's too little. How will I even navigate this? And she was ANA positive, which is the indicator for an autoimmune disorder. And just a few months later, it went from her finger, and then it started to affect her joint, her leg. So when it started to affect her leg, it was in her knee and her ankle towards her foot, which caused her, she had just learned to walk as well. And she was a really good walker, running around. We always laugh with Kaya, because you probably have seen her do this, but she never walks, she always dances.
Yeah.
Some people are like, I don't think I've ever seen you walk, because she's so active and she is an avid dancer. She's obsessed with yoga, all things movement. So even at that age, when she stopped dancing and she started to walk with a turned out foot.
Oh my gosh.
And it was pretty severe. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is something that I'm, you know, this is going to be long-term that we're going to deal with. So once her ANA blood work came back positive, they got us right into a rheumatologist, actually, which at the time I had no idea, again, what I was doing at a rheumatologist's office. What does a rheumatologist even do?
Yeah,
well, we learned really quick. Me and my husband grew up really fast in that next couple of years. And they did diagnose her with psoriatic arthritis pretty quickly. And
so she does not have lupus.
She did not have lupus. Okay. That came back negative. So that was good for us. But at the same time, we were, you know, coming to terms with our 2-year-old going to deal with this diagnosis that is incurable. That they say autoimmune disorder, you know, cannot be cured, but it can be managed. And I've got a pretty stubborn personality, and I was like, challenge accepted. Challenge accepted. No, absolutely not. This is an angel of a baby, you know, God-given, and she will heal. And I'm going to heal her. We're doing this. And honestly, I searched high and dry for years to find an answer. And to I went to all sorts of doctors. I grew up in a very natural home. My dad is a chiropractor, and my entire side of the family are chiropractors, so all my dad's brothers and things like that. So whenever we were ill as children, we didn't go to the doctor really. We just went and got our neck adjusted. And that's just kind of how I grew up. We grew up on 18 acres of property. We played in the woods. We got really dirty. And when we were sick, that was the key. So I had that instinctive, you know, nature in me to start looking other places.
So would you say you weren't thinking like, oh, just give her a pill, she'll be fine? You're like, there's got to be a deeper rooted issue that we can work towards curing.
Absolutely.
Okay.
We were very grateful at the time for the rheumatologist because he was able to give her a drug called Enbrel, which has extensive research and safety studies done, which I was very happy to find because I was very concerned about that. So we did give her the Enbrel, and that helped her to walk again. That helped her to turn her foot forward. That helped her
again.
To dance again. Oh. Exactly. But I wasn't going to accept that she had to be on medication the rest of her life. It was just a no for me. And coming from my natural background, I wanted more, and I wanted to get to the root of the issue because these medications are fantastic, but they're not going to heal you. They won't take away the problem.
Do they have side effects?
They do have side effects, absolutely. And her Enbrel, there's a list of side effects, which I won't go into right now. I'd say everyone just do your research when it comes to these things. I made the decision that I wanted to take that risk because I needed my child to walk. I needed her to play with her friends
to develop like a normal child.
Absolutely. But we did find other resources, and it's been a long time coming, but through different things like diet, movement, in our family, a lot of prayer, she's actually going to be medication free. And the words I never thought I'd hear from her rheumatologist. So 3 years ago, every time I go into the rheumatologist, I cry, and I'm like, no, I want them to say it's over. Tell me it's over. It's never over. And my rheumatologist, I want to say it was like 3 years ago, she was maybe in first grade or kindergarten. He said, this is never going away. I need you to accept it. Mm-hmm. Okay. She will deal with this her whole life. She's not going into remission. And actually in May of this year, he said, I rarely say this, but I eat my words, and I think she's going to grow out of this.
Stop it.
Yeah.
Oh. Wow.
And now they want her off all the medications, and they foresee that she's good.
So what's Kaya's self-care tips? Like, what does she do when she starts to feel not so good? What are the things that help get her on track that she has to do consistently?
Diet is massive in our house. Diet is really, really big. We started her on a diet called GAPS right away when she was diagnosed, which helped to cleanse her gut. And we took away all grains and things like that. Once we got through that process, I also did the diet with her because a lot of moms out there may not know this, but you know, if you have one child that is diagnosed with an autoimmune disorder, another child that you bring into this world is likely to have that as well. I can't remember the exact statistics, so I'm not going to give it, but I remember I was pregnant at the time. And I was like, oh, no, they're telling me that my son, Maddox, will have this too. Like I think it was like 50% chance. And of course, I was like, no, we're not accepting that. Thank you. So I went on the diet and I was like, OK, I'm going to heal my gut. I'm going to go anti-inflammatory. And I remember, you know, some were not so thrilled. Like, you're going to do what while you're pregnant?
Okay.
And I was like, yes, I am 100%. I believe in this. I believe that I can assure that my son comes out healthier than my daughter
okay.
did.
Okay. And just, I remember you coming to work after you gave birth to your son, and we were so thrilled for you. And you're like, he was so healthy that he broke my tailbone coming out because he is a big, beautiful, healthy baby boy. And I hope you don't mind that I just said that on the podcast. But I was like, dang, that boy is a healthy boy.
I did. I'd gained like a healthy amount of weight with my daughter. I was also vegetarian at the time. I hadn't eaten meat for 10 years and I had my own views on food. But when I got pregnant with my son, I had gotten the advice from my naturopath that, and also with the GAPS diet, you actually have to eat meat. And I remember it was 10 years, I hadn't eaten meat, and I cried. I was like, okay, I'll have a meatball, you know, and my husband's a chef, so he made me the most amazing meatball. And I cried eating it, but then I wanted more. And so I balanced that diet with a lot of fruit and vegetables and a little meat here and there, but I took out all grains and things like that. And I didn't gain as much weight with my son. I'd even lost a little bit of weight into the pregnancy when I started this diet. And I remember some saying like, don't do that. Now is not the time to eat low fat or this or that. And it's not that I was eating low fat, it's that I was trying to cleanse my system to assure that, you know, no toxins would get through my gut into him, because as a baby passes through the vaginal wall, the mother has to give off that good gut flora. And I wanted to provide that for him. So that was my ultimate goal. And we didn't know he was going to be that big. So even the OB was like, oh, I really want to be here to deliver the baby, but I'm going to be out of town on your due date. So you can just go past. You'll be fine. She's like, just don't go on like an ice cream binge or anything. I'm like, okay, haven't done that the whole time anyways. So she goes on her vacation. It was over the 4th of July. He was due on the 4th. I didn't go into it. They induced me on the 14th, which was 10 days later, because he wasn't budging. He was very comfortable. And okay.
That sounds like Maddox.
Sounds like Maddox. Yes, exactly.
He wants to be homeschooled. He doesn't want to leave the house.
Very cozy. And when he was born, yes, he broke my tailbone. There was a massive crack in my pelvis when he came out. And the nurses were like, oh my gosh, 10 pounds, 12 pounds, 13 pounds. Like, they're all guessing how big this child is. And I'm like,
child.
Yes. He was
not a newborn.
He was huge, but it just went to show. I was like, okay, I didn't ruin him.
You did the right thing.
He got all the nutrients, and he still to this day is like, gosh, the healthiest little linebacker.
Do any of you all eat grains? Is grains like inflammatory? What's up with that?
Well, there's different, it's kind of, again, different for everybody a little bit when they go through the process of looking at the gut or what foods that they might be sensitive to. But typically, sugar, alcohol, gluten, grains, dairy can be very common that they would increase inflammation. Okay. So that's kind of another space where people can go into another area of learning for them, in a sense of what's going to be right for them with what changes they make in their food, because changes in diet is big. And you know, I was just sitting here thinking, because I heard you, Megan, such powerful words that this is the disease. It's not curable, but you can manage it. You're going to have it kind of lifelong. And sitting here, especially as a counselor too, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, you know, everything that goes on in your mind, the loss, the grief,
defeated, hopeless.
How do I manage this? How will this impact my life? And you know, it varies again to a degree where some people notice fatigue, but other people have to completely go on disability and change their identity and their work. And it, you know, it just is huge. And so I think the more people like all of us sitting here are talking about it and having just a dialogue, it prevents people from feeling so alone in that, or offers hope, like listening to you, you know, offers hope to people who their child is diagnosed, or even me, that my child at 14 and at 20, you know, was going through it, and myself, that I just think we can all learn from each other, you know, in what our experience has been. And again, that's kind of why we, Trinity and I, wanted to develop care and to collaborate with people like Megan and others, because I just think this, I hope that this dialogue is helpful to people, because those words are, I mean, they give me chills when I heard you say them. But of course, then I got chills too on the other one where it was like, she doesn't need to be on medication anymore. It's like, you
that's
know,
incredible.
Because we can get to a point of, you know, managing it and living and doing better. But boy, it sure is a struggle, and I never want to invalidate that, the struggle that people really go through with it.
What I'm really getting from this conversation is advocating for yourself, and everybody's journey is going to look different.
Yeah.
And I think I would like to go around, because I cut you off a little bit, Megan. What are some of the main things that Kaya does for self-care? And I'd like to hear from each of you for this.
So first and foremost is diet, as I was saying. Now that she's not on the GAPS diet anymore, by the way, you don't always have to be on like a strict diet if you have autoimmune.
Right.
We are to the other side of it. And I would say 80% of the time she eats very healthy, which means fresh fruits, fresh vegetables. Seasonally, we eat within the seasons. I am a stickler with organic foods. I want as little of toxins in her body as possible. Her system is already flared up enough. We don't need to add to that fire. So diet is first. She does take a lot of turmeric. Turmeric is anti-inflammatory. Vitamin D for her is huge, especially going into the winter months. Those with autoimmune disorders are also going to, you know, be told, well, your immune system could be weaker and things like that. So it doesn't hurt to up your dosage of vitamin D. And she's a child. I make her play outside. we need to go outside today. And there may be some, when she would have flares, her flares typically would come in the winter, and they would typically come after an illness. So that would be an indicator, like if she had the flu or if she had a cold or a virus. And it's funny that you tell me about the virus, because the first naturopath that I ever went to before she was even diagnosed picked up on a virus, and he said it was a virus that would cause inflammation. And it just reminded me that a lot of these autoimmune disorders can be, you know, kind of tipped over the edge from an illness, from a virus and things like that.
Absolutely.
Yes. So that's something that most people don't know. So just to pay attention, things like that. So food, making sure we get a lot of sunshine, making sure she's playing outside, getting her hands dirty, playing in the dirt, and just being a normal kid, honestly. And yeah, lots of love and assuring that she just knows, you know, she's loved abundantly no matter what. It's a great thing, because sometimes when we tell her, you know, oh, because of your arthritis or this or that, or it's rarely brought up in our house, it's not a huge topic anymore, but her brother would be like, what? What does she have? Why? And she's like, I don't know.
And she's
mom and dad
dance.
Said I went through something and I don't really care. I don't remember it. Can I dance?
Yeah, she's in dance classes. You were telling me about for the school talent show. She wanted to choreograph her own dance presentation by herself. Is that right?
Yeah. So when she was in kindergarten, which was her second biggest flare ever, she was in kindergarten. 5 years old, super teeny tiny tot. And if you ever see Kaya, she's a pint size. She's really itty bitty for her age. And there was a school talent show. She goes to an art school. She's like, I want to try out for the talent show, Mom. And I'm like, okay, Kaya, what will you do in this talent show? And she's like, I'm not going to tell you. Just drop me off at the audition. And I'm like, okay.
Drop me off. Don't even come in.
No, I wasn't allowed to see it. So I drop my 5-year-old off at the audition. I stand outside the door wondering, what is she going to do in there? You know, I assumed it was something with dancing. She also has a really good singing voice. I thought maybe she'll sing. I don't know. And she comes out all confident. And I'm like, okay, so now we just wait to hear back, because they only select a few to perform in the talent show. And I'm like, whatever, we'll never hear from them again. She gets in. I'm like, oh gosh, you got in. Like, this is amazing. Okay. Can I now see what you did? And she's like, no. I'm like, okay. So then she's to perform on the last day of school in front of all the parents, all the teachers, and all the school. And she's in two performances. And about a week before this hits, she'd got a really bad flare. And it moved into her leg again. And we had to put her in a boot. And she couldn't walk at all. Oh. And I was like, oh, Kaya, I don't think, honey, you should do this talent show. I think it's a good idea. And she's, Mom, I'm doing the talent show. Take the boot off. Take me. I'm going. And I'm like, me and my husband are like, okay. I mean, she's kind of bossing right now. I think we have to let her do it.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like, oh gosh. So I like put her on the stage and I'm just like shaking as a mom, horrified. She does the cutest dance to a Rihanna song. From the movie Home. It's the best. Dancing in the dark. Cutest thing ever. She choreographs this thing where our minds are blown, and about halfway through she fell. And it's just like pause, you know. And my husband and I just start bawling. Like, oh gosh, like this is it. She's going to be mortified. No. She gets up and smiles and just finishes her dance like a rock star. Like, who cares? I don't care that I fell. So she's like, I always say, like, you can't.
That's your daughter.
That's my daughter. That's my daughter. You know, the one thing about those going with autoimmune, like, you'll never be given something that you can't handle. You'll never be given something that you cannot get through, and you're strong. Like, the strongest ones are going to be diagnosed with things like this. And I look at her and I'm like, I don't know how I would deal with that if it was me. I don't know. But she's just a powerhouse.
I love it.
Thank you for sharing, Meg. Oh, I love that. Trinity, will you tell us a few of the things that you do that help?
Yeah. So a big thing for me is just resting. I am one of those people that wants to do everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to tell myself, you can't do everything you want to do, or you need to kind of give yourself an extended timeline to do all the things you want to do.
Mm.
Because I would push and push and push myself, and then I would end up feeling awful. I couldn't get out of bed.
So
I have to give myself extra time or rest more in between doing things. So if I have a super busy week, I'm like, okay.
So if you don't pencil in time for your body to rest, you could aggravate those issues for you.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So for people who are very go, 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 that's a way to learn how to slow down and take care of yourself.
Yes. So it did force me to slow down and take care of myself, which as a person in my 20s, I'm like, I don't want to sit down.
Why would you?
I don't want to tell my friends I can't go out. Like, my arthritis is bad. Like,
oh,
24 years old, and I'm like, oh, my back hurts. I can't come out.
But you're feeling better about that?
Yes, I have gotten better, and like, all my friends know about it, and a lot of them are my cousins, and they have like their own autoimmune disorders, or one of our cousins actually works on care with us. So
okay, cool.
They're like, yeah, okay, we get it. No pressure. It's all good. So I've really had to find those people that understand and get it, because I've lost friendships because they truly didn't believe I was that sick. They thought I was like making it up for attention.
Wow.
So
a healthy community is really important.
Yeah. For me, my support system is one of my things that I go to when I'm having a bad time. I'm like, I'm having a bad time. I need X, Y, and Z, or I just need to complain about how I'm feeling, about why this sucks that I'm 24 years old and all I can do is sit in bed right now.
Oh.
And sit on my heating pad. My heating pad is my best friend.
Oh, boy.
So for that rest and relying on my support system, and I'm a really creative person, so when I'm stressed out and I know I'm going to push myself over the edge with work and with school, I force myself to do creative projects. Mm-hmm. And I even like posted last week on Facebook, I was like, I'm depressed, I'm not doing well, please give me creative projects, like whatever it is, please.
Great.
Yeah, so relying on my people, pushing myself to not push myself.
Okay.
Kind of.
Do you feel like you're on a really good cocktail of medication or...
Yes.
Are you still playing with that?
Still playing with that.
Okay.
I've been on a couple of biologics. I'm on my third right now. And I've only been on that one for, I think, like 6 months now. And that one's only once every 8 weeks, an injection. So it's kind of like figuring out if that's a high enough dose, if I need to do more of it, or if this is still just my body adjusting to it. Right now, my skin is super clear.
Yeah, it looks great. I wouldn't even know.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But my arthritis, I still definitely can tell where I'm like, oh, I'm walking like my 8-year-old grandparents.
Shoot.
But yeah, so I laugh about my bucket of supplements that I take. Turmeric is another one I take.
Okay.
And I have a list of all the things. I have my color-coded pill organizers that I bring.
There we go.
And I, you know, I laugh about it now because, you know what, it's part of my life. And it is ridiculous that I carry around more pills than my 80-year-old grandparents. And when I go on vacation with my friends, I'm like, okay, we're leaving the hotel room. Does everyone have their phone, chargers, prescriptions? And they're like, prescriptions? And I'm like, you guys don't have...
You don't carry around.
You don't have prescriptions? And I'm like, I got a whole pack of them. Okay. So just learning to laugh at the goofy things that, you know, I didn't expect I would ever be here. But, you know, I'm here, and hopefully this business that my mom and I are building, like, helps people on this journey and helps them be able to like laugh at the stupid things. And I enjoy my rainbow color coordinated pill packs.
Great.
You know, I didn't think I would ever have the conversations with my friends about which pill organizer did you buy? Did that work for you?
My goodness.
Do you have the AM, afternoon, PM one, or just it's all over the place? like, you know.
So finding the bright side and the comedy in it. That's
great. You know, it's
having
helped
a good
me,
attitude.
Yeah, it's helped me build more connections with people that I didn't think I would connect on them mm-hmm. with at that level, because it is something that it's hard to understand if you don't experience it yourself or have someone in your life that experiences it. So yeah. I really just try and make the best out of what I'm dealing with and have dealt with, and try and help people with it along the way. That's what I've always felt like my purpose on this earth is, to help people. Like, I've been through all these experiences that mm-hmm. I've had because I'll be able to help someone through those things.
And that's how you guys came together to create CARE. I love that.
Yeah.
We do have to wrap up quickly. Yeah. So tell me, Connie, your top self-care tips. And then I think you have an overheard at yoga story for us.
Oh, gosh. Okay, I'll be really quick with my top self-care. But number one, stress reduction. Reduce stress. And then from my counselor perspective, I kind of keep an eye on what are the thoughts I'm thinking about myself, right? If I don't feel good in a day and I have to say no to something, I got to remind myself to do that without guilt and be careful not to pick on myself like, oh, geez, you know, you don't have enough energy. You can't do this. Nah. Or if I'm feeling grief or loss, I let myself feel it. And then other things that help me with the stress reduction is yoga, EFT tapping, meditation, exercise. And I just decide in that day what I feel like doing, you know, depending on how I feel, I'll decide which of those, you know, I choose to do. But those are some of the things that I do. And of course, yoga, I'm just getting really into yoga a bit more now because I've found in the research how helpful it can be for autoimmune.
How helpful can it be?
It can be very helpful for autoimmune. It really reduces inflammation and reduces symptoms significantly, and then keeps the joints feeling a little bit more mobile or flexible, helps with balance. But you have to do the right type of yoga. So that's where we try to do a lot of research for CARE to make sure we're doing the right types of yoga. But way back when I was diagnosed, here's my yoga story, is that I thought, well, hot yoga might be the right thing, you know, for me to try. So I tried one class, wasn't too sure about it, decided to go back to a second class. And right before I left, I realized, gosh, my skin looks a little dry. I'm just going to load up with a bunch of lotion all over my skin. So right there I am in class, you know, sweating in hot yoga, sliding all over the place, trying to hold a pose, can't do it. And I kind of laughed hysterically and thought, I'm not sure hot yoga is the right thing for me. So I've transitioned into some a little easier kind of hatha flow type mindful yoga that it really doesn't matter whether I'm wearing lotion or not.
Yes.
It works for me. So got to find the right thing. Each person has to find the right stuff that they like. You know, a lot of times with my clients, I'll say, have you tried yoga or meditation? And the facial expressions are hilarious. The eye roll, the like, oh
boy,
my God,
I am
not going to go do that. So I do like on CARE, at least, where it will have all those videos online so they can try it and sample it and see if they like it, and then maybe be encouraged to go out and take a class, because that connection's good to be around other people too. But that's my story.
My friends all cut me off. They're like, yeah, I know, yoga. We get it. I'm so glad that you guys have all come into my little podcast. I love that Pure Serenity Yoga has linked up with CARE to share yoga for folks with autoimmune diseases. And I would like you to say the name of your website again, which I will link in the show notes.
Yes, it's careforautoimmune.com.
And then Megan, your website for online video blah 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 platform.
Blah blah blah. Like,
what do we call this virtual yoga stuff?
You can practice with us online. We have an array of classes. Right now we have over 95 videos. In that we have some intense classes, but we also have classes for the autoimmune community. We have classes that are meditation specifically, and that's pureserenityyoga.com.
Great. And I'm also on Megan's platform, so take my yoga class.
One of the top classes actually is your Feel Good Vinyasa Flow, and I'm definitely going to recommend that to the CARE website because it is a very relaxed flow. Christina's energy is perfecto.
Thank you so much, ladies.
Uh-huh. Yes. Thank you so much.
Yes. Bye, guys. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode.
Leave me a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, and I want to hear from you. Please send me your overheard at yoga stories. Tell me about your yoga journey, what you love about your home studio, or the funny thing you overheard at yoga. Find me on Instagram at overheardat.yoga to submit. There are so many different styles of yoga and opinions about yoga, but the one thing I've seen in all my travels to different studios is yoga brings a community together. Namaste!